It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I do think they're gonna use Cam Newton in some way, shape, or form. I could see them coming up, you know, with a red zone package of plays, or just to let him get comfortable in the offense. Because, you know, Stidham's going to be the starter. Because Stidham is going to...
You think he's starting week one? Guaranteed?
Yes. Wow. Yes.
Boomer's 100%. Been saying this all
time. I know you have. I know.
Even though Newton's been getting more of the first team reps.
Guys, you don't understand how hard it is to learn a new offense. That's why I think Daniel Jones kind of starts a little bit behind the eight ball again this year, because he's got to learn another offense, another coaching staff, the way that they discuss things. And every coach does it differently. And the one thing we know about Josh McDaniels up there in New England, this offense is about precision and timing and understanding, you know, where everybody is on the field. And I don't care if you're a 9-year quarterback or a 10-year quarterback, it's impossible overnight to learn all of that, and yet you're in the midst of a pandemic, so you have no preseason games, you have very little practice time, and you're going to ask this guy to go out there and be your starting quarterback in week one? I just don't see it.
All right, hi everybody, welcome into the program. It's Felger and Maserati, Friday, August 28th. It's an agenda-free Friday. Felger coming to you from remote a-hole chair location. Parts unknown. We got Big Jim Murray and Matt McCarthy in our Town Fair Tire Studios. How you guys doing?
Good. You? Oh, positively delightful.
Peachy? Yeah. Excellent. Thank you so much. It's good to hear, guys. Agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Our car buying is always agenda-free. Choose some new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Agenda-free Fridays, the whole point there is it's set by your wonderful telephone calls, so it's your agenda. We have none. It's all up to you. So the hounds have been released at 617-779-0985. Anything you want to get to from the week that we've gotten to or have yet to get to. If you're watching on the simulcast, you'll see we're all wearing our team colors. Matt McCarthy, of course, in the Boston Red Sox. I've got my classic Brewers T-shirt on. Okay, best logo in the history of sports right there. And Big Jim Murray, of course, sporting
the Bucko Brady.
Okay, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Is that Brady as the pirate there?
It is, yeah. I bought it, I think, the day of the signing on St. Patrick's Day.
3 days before the signing, probably.
Yeah. And yeah, this is maybe one of the best purchases I've made in the last 5 months or so.
Okay, so everything's on the board. I want to start with that Boomer Esiason comment there. Boomer Esiason, obviously from FAN in New York. I think that was yesterday morning.
Yeah, no
if
agenda
I'm not mistaken.
There.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, what do you think his agenda is, Murray?
Oh, I mean, for you. I mean, that sound clip is music to your ears. Jared Stidham is still going to be the starter. Oh, yay!
So what do you think he's trying? So that's my question. I'll have more thoughts on it coming up, but I'll just, you know, facilitate now. Do you think he knows something, or do you think he's just behind the news curve? Because
I'd like to think that he's behind the news curve. I mean, he, like you and many full-time hosts that are in prominent positions, take a lot of time off in the summer, even during a pandemic. So I think he still believes. He probably didn't even know about the Jared Stidham hip thing all that much. And Cam Newton had struggled, and it didn't really make much sense that they signed him so late. Stidham was the guy that they drafted. They believe in him. We've heard for the last year up until the Cam Newton signing, this is going to be the guy, and I think he's still stuck in that vortex.
So here's my thought, and again, we're going to dig a little deeper into it. I think he has inside information. I do. But I think it's dated, you know, to your point. I think he, at some point, as I think the team believed, because I think the team really believed this, that Stidham was the guy. He was the guy. And they let people know that, and that was just an accurate reflection of how the team felt at the time. And then things changed. They changed at some point in time, and Boomer is just behind the curve. I mean, even today, they had a kind of walk-through scrimmage kind of thing, right, at the stadium where I just saw Arkan and TJ talking about it. They had a blue team and a white team, and the blue team was Cam Newton with Julian Edelman, Mohamed Sanu, N'Keal Harry, like the ones, and Stidham and Hoyer split time on the white team with, like, consider the second group. Yeah, the second group of receivers. And it's like maybe Boomer's just a little bit behind the news curve. It's not his team, so, you know, you can understand that. And it's the summer, so, you know, be that as it may. But my takeaway is that it just reinforces that I think Stidham was the guy at one point, or they wanted him to be the guy at one time, or they thought he was going to be the guy at one time, and things changed. And basically, long story short, Stidham blew it. Stidham blew it. And, you know, that's my thought on that. We're going to have more on this throughout the course of the day. We'll get back into the Patriots quarterback stuff. That's just one of the items on the board on Agenda Free Friday. Again, your phone number, 617-779-0985. Murray, what's your opening take?
I actually want to open with a story. I literally said what happened during a commercial break yesterday, because we're now living in the most predictably stupid time in history. And if Maz were here, he would back me up on this clairvoyance. I said to Maz, you realize it's all a matter of time before someone says the Red Sox now can't trade Jackie Bradley Jr., right? And he was like, oh, I hadn't thought about that in the light of the events of the last 48 to 72 hours. And what do you know, last night, as I'm scrolling through the cesspool that is Twitter, from John Tomasi, NBC Sports Boston. Love you, mean it, John. Jackie Bradley Jr. is suddenly the central figure on the Red Sox. Can they really turn around and trade him at the deadline? Quickly copied and pasted this, texted it to Maz and said, told you. And then I read this while trying not to have my eyes roll into the back of my head. If you haven't read this piece by John, the gist of it is this. Again, in the light of what has happened here in the last few days. As you would imagine, you can't trade Jackie Bradley Jr. because he's the only African-American player on the Red Sox. It'd be bad optics considering this team's terrible history with integration, the Adam Jones incident, and on and on. And that's it. So I would like to actually apply common sense to this, something that I will continue to do. Even if it becomes more detrimental by the day with this job, and it will eventually lead to me having to give a forced apology I won't mean or get fired. Jackie Bradley Jr., while I'm sure is a nice guy based on everything that I've ever heard or read about him, stinks at hitting. Jackie Bradley Jr. mostly stinks. And so if some team wants to give his overrated defense in center field, they want to overpay for that overrated defense in center field, and they're willing to give Chaim Bloom some prospects or maybe a decent pitcher to help rebuild this now dumpster fire of a team, you do it, no matter the player's race, creed, religion, sex, whatever. It's a business, John. It's business. And doing further bad business for this stupid team who would... You're going to hang on to a guy for what? Twitter clout? To make woke writers happy? What are we doing here? What are we doing? The team blows. They need to fix it. And they have to fix it fast before people, even like McCarthy, write them off because the product sucks.
It's happening. It's happening already.
You trade anyone and everyone that's not nailed down outside of Xander Bogaerts and Alex Verdugo. And if that includes trading Jackie Bradley Jr. by Monday, even if it means you have to deal with some bad PR and some Twitter bitching, you do it. And not to mention, by the way, one thing not pointed out in the column, what if Jackie Bradley Jr. actually wants to, get the hell out of here and doesn't want to be here anymore and he wants to be traded? And so then you hang on to Jackie Bradley Jr. for this reason? There's a word for that. It's tokenism. What are we doing? Like, what are we even doing? Jackie Bradley Jr. is not that good. You need to trade everything from this team outside of Bogaerts and Verdugo and maybe Devers. That's it. You have to strip it down and try to rebuild like that. You don't hang on to a player like Jackie Bradley Jr. just because he's the only African-American player on the team. It's just common sense, period.
McCarthy.
All right, so yesterday was the latest indication that Rob Manfred is the worst commissioner of all of sports and needs to go. Not tomorrow, not tonight, not next week. He needs to go right now. right this minute. Did you guys see this moment that the Mets and the Marlins had last night?
Oh, did I?
Yeah, this was powerful stuff, right? You know, they go onto the field. They stay there for 42 seconds in honor of Jackie Robinson. They walk off the field, all right? Kind of a, you know, player-driven moment, a powerful moment, I thought. Rob Manfred tried to meddle. Rob Manfred tried to get involved in it, and the owners of the Mets, the Wilpons, tried to get involved in that moment and meddle in that moment, too. All right, so Mets GM Brody Van Wagenen was caught on a hot mic, and I'm of the opinion that it was deliberate because I don't know how this video gets leaked, but anyway, he was caught on a hot mic saying before that moment, before the game, that Manfred wanted the players to go out there, walk off the field, but then come back and play the game a little bit later on because he's concerned about the scheduling, he's concerned about the logistics of this fake season. Now, since then, Van Wagenen's had to come out and apologize, saying, it wasn't Manfred. Rob Manfred wasn't involved. Actually, it was my owner's idea. It was Jeff Wilpon's idea. So Rob Manfred's great. I'm sorry for ripping him. I'm sorry for saying that Rob Manfred didn't get, which he said on that hot mic, Rob Manfred doesn't get it. Whether or not, I don't care if it was Rob Manfred's idea. I don't care if it was Jeff Wilpon's idea. Van Wagenen's right. All right. Rob Manfred does not get it. That's why he needs to go. Is he good at one element of his job? Is he good at labor relations? Is he good at rule changes? Is he good at pace of play? The A-Rod Biogenesis scandal, which he was involved in and he screwed up. He can't handle anything, and he certainly can't handle this moment either. That's why he needs to go. Get him out of there. The worst commissioner in sports needs to go, not tomorrow, not tonight, now, right now.
I've come around on that. You know, I've come around on Manfred. I sort of fought it for a while because I think a lot of things are beyond his control. But, you know.
He's a moron, Mike.
Boob. I just get so easy to, you know, pile on him when I think it's the Players Association that causes most of the, you know, most of the trouble in that sport. But it's part of his job to bring them into line or to at least take them on or to do something. I think you put it well, McCarthy. What does he do? I mean, what has he done? All I think he's done is given lip service to some of the changes baseball has to make, but that's all on that. All right, so those are opening takes. 617-779-0985. As usual, what we do is we get some calls going in the first segment. And so let's bring on Jason in North Providence with the Bruins thought. Jason, go ahead. You're up first on an agenda-free Friday.
Yeah, here's my only thought. Last year, game four, Carolina, when we swept them, we benched Chower. And I thought we dominated the ice. I just think that's a phenomenal idea, maybe. Maybe take back control of the ice, take back the speed that we have. Last year, we didn't need them. It was a sweep. I understand that. It was game four. If you watch that tape, Carolina had no answer for it. I just think you guys should think about it.
Okay. I don't remember that. They benched Char in game four against Carolina last year.
Char was hurt. He had an injury that came up, and they were up 3-0 in the series, and they basically gave him an off night.
Okay, so I'm right. I don't think benching. I barely remember that. Right. By that point, Carolina was cooked.
Right. Right.
But I understand the frustration with Chara. I'm going down. That Chara's going down with the ship, as far as I'm concerned. I'm firmly on record. You know, with this, you can take away some of his minutes. That's fine. He was on the ice for all three power play goals against the other night. Fine. Take him off the PK. That's fine with me. But I'm going down with the Char ship, and if he helps, you know, you lose this series, I'll take ownership of it and say he was part of the problem versus part of the solution. But I don't know. I love the guy. I still think he is valuable in most. I mean, their PK was great until the other night. So, and he's a part of that, and he's been a big part of that. I think they had a really obviously bad night the other night, and then they sort of quit midway through the game. So I think that was all sort of part and parcel. But I don't know. I'm going down with the Char ship, Murray.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Me too.
Yeah,
and I know that he looks slow, and maybe age is catching up with him. But and I know, given the optics at the end of the Carolina series, I remember how much we talked about that. And we all know how much he means, just to let alone to the fans, what he means to that team. As long as he's healthy, you can't bench him. What kind of message would that send to the rest of the team? You just can't do it.
Nope, that's right. Nope, he's the captain, and he's the leader of that team, and they look up to him, and it's sink or swim with Zdeno Chara. You can bitch about him, though. 617-779-0985. Back to your calls on Agenda Free Friday. Everything on the board from the week. Back to you right after this.
Tugger has. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
It seemed like you had a little lull there just where you weren't on the field as much just for a small stretch of time. How much do you feel like that little stretch there sort of stunted any momentum or progress, you know, that you had made up to that point?
No, I mean, you know, there's things that happen, and you know, sometimes you can't control everything, but you know, now I'm you know, back on the field and excited to be back playing with the guys and everything like that. And so, you know, I just want to take the most of my opportunities that I do have and try and make the most of them, and like I said, try and continue to get better every single day. I mean, my goal has, like I said earlier, has always stayed the same, whether that be, you know, here at the end of training camp, kind of leading into the season, or you know, whether it be throughout the season or whatever it may be, you know, is really just to learn and get better. You know, I'm only in my second year, so there's a ton of room for me to grow, a lot of room to improve and learn in a lot of different areas. So that's kind of my big thing. You know, I just want to continue to learn from the guys in the quarterback room, whether it be Cam or Hoy or, you know, Jed or Josh or whoever it may be, just continue to learn from those guys and really try to, you know, help myself get better and really excel on the field every day.
Again, despite what Boomer Esiason said, I want Boomer to be right. I think it's a better story if Jared Stidham's your quarterback. Pisses more people off, stirs the poop pile, makes it more about Bill, for all sorts of different reasons. Stidham or Hoyer starting feeds my contrarian streak, Murray. It just does.
I know, and there's something here maybe that'll make it move for you. Something. Maybe that speaks to a QB rotation.
Mm-hmm.
4 minutes ago, reading from Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston, who's down there covering this fake scrimmage. Brian Hoyer just fake limped off the field to let Jared Stidham take over. Elite acting. Hobbled all the way to the sideline to really sell it. Prepping for all situations here.
I like it. So again, we let off with Boomer Esiason saying yesterday Stidham's still going to start. He's felt that way from day one. He feels that way right now. Stidham is going to be the starter for the Patriots. I think he's sort of behind the information curve on that, but I think there was a time they did want Stidham and now they don't. And I think Stidham's comments yesterday reflect it.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, so I wonder if, yeah, again, so this is what I think it is. He's just, you know, he's a little behind, and because I believe that they did want Stidham, and then something happened, and now they don't, and that's why they went and got Cam Newton. But he clearly didn't hear that that Jared Stidham sound, because I'll tell you this. If he sounds like a backup, and he looks like a backup, he's a backup quarterback. And that's what Jared Stidham came off as.
Well, it's just so, and I think Karen Garishan or someone in the Herald pointed this out, you know. So, you know, yesterday Stidham is, it's only my second year. I'm just here to learn. I want to get better every day. Learn from the guys in the room. This is my goal. When he first spoke, and Jimmy, what was the date? Like August 7th or something? That first week of August, that first
August
day of the 7th, quarterback?
Yes.
Yeah, August 7th when the quarterback spoke. Remember what he said? Oh, I'm definitely ready. Do you have that cut, Jimmy?
How are you approaching the here and now and the next coming weeks when you guys are able to sort of dial it up in terms of the competition aspect of things? Do you view, even with Cam, who obviously has had a great career, but do you view yourself as having the ability to start this season, depending on how you perform this summer?
Absolutely. I mean, I think I'm definitely ready. You know, I think I put in a lot of work this offseason.
So you
really
can stop
improve.
It right there. Yeah, you can stop it right there. He's like, absolutely, I'm definitely ready.
I'm definitely ready. He's out on Julian Edelman's Instagram posting hashtag LFG, let's effing go. He's taking photos with the golden football and the throne, ready to be the next king after Brady. What happened? What happened to that?
So I think, again, Boomer had information. It was real information. It's just a little old. I think Stidham felt it, the team felt it, and it all changed because Stidham blew it. He blew his opportunity. And so that's just sort of the thought on that. But that, you know, I do leave all possibilities. Don't you have to leave all possibilities open for this team, Murray?
Oh, yeah. I mean, with this team, yeah, more than any other, of course. Again, like, I want it to be Cam. It feels like it's going to be Cam. But if it actually wasn't, am I going to be truly surprised? Not really.
So, okay, your thoughts on this and everything, again, from the week. It's an agenda-free Friday. 617-779-0985. Bernie's on the Cape on boycotts. Go ahead, Bernie.
Yes, I watched the Zolak show earlier, and there was a black man that called in from Randolph. And he tried to give his viewpoints on what's going on today. And people didn't seem to understand him. And in fact, another black fella called in from Roxbury and criticized the poor guy. What he was trying to say is, we've been craving for sports with this pandemic going on. Nobody could wait until we got sports and had you guys back on talking about what's happening with the various teams. But instead, what do we get? We got political situations that are coming.
That you don't agree with, Bernie. Political situations that you don't agree with.
Well, I don't want to go into that, but
I mean, let's be honest.
Black Lives Matter is a violent movement. I believe in equality. Yeah. I believe in, if you looked at the NBA and the players with the sayings on the back of their shirts, you saw some of the Celtics with equality. I thought that was beautiful. You saw players with peace. That's beautiful.
You saw
players with love. That's beautiful.
Got it. You don't believe politically in Black Lives Matter or whatever it is. It doesn't fit your worldview. Okay? So that's why you don't like it. It's not that you don't like politics. It's just not your politics. I mean, let's be honest. For most of us, when we say we don't like politics, we don't like carrying politics that aren't our own. I mean, you cannot like any politics, but you really, really don't like politics that aren't your own. It's grating to have to hear and be put in your face. So that's what it is, because you're on the other side of it. So you don't like it. But it's not that you don't want politics involved. I don't know. Did you call up when Kurt Schilling was going, saying you don't like politics? I mean, I don't know. It's a while ago, but I don't remember hearing from you. Not that I would, but I mean, you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. No, it's always that. People are just, you know, they're dug in, especially now more than ever. You know, if I don't want to hear your side of it because this is what I believe. My beliefs are the right beliefs. So
I mean, it's just, but, you know, you don't like hearing their politics. If they had your politics on the floor, your politics on the back of their jerseys, and I know you just said you liked some of it, but if they had your politics sprayed all over the place, something tells me you'd be okay with it. So let's just call it for what it is. Here's Frank in Chicago on the Bruins. Go ahead, Frank, on an agenda-free Friday.
Hey, guys. How are you? I just I hate to belabor the Tuukka Rask issue, but I was just wondering. I know the organization, and I know the players have to come out and say the right things and support him and his family. I get all that. But do you think the psyche of the players was affected by him just leaving?
And yeah, it's a great question, Frank. Let me just stop you there. Did and boy, you are from Chicago.
Oh, man, right? I was going to say, what a great Chicago.
You have to understand. Yeah. It's a good question. Has the psyche of the Bruins been affected by Rask leaving? My answer to that is no. I think the psyche is affected by the fact that Halak has sucked, right? In other words, if Halak came in there and set the world on fire, I think it would actually be galvanizing that Rask left. And I think it might have been for a short time there against Carolina, against a more beatable opponent. And when Halak was, you know, playing well, Halak put some, you know, good periods and some good games up there against Carolina. And even into the first game against Tampa, he had a hell of a second period in that first game, helped him win him a game. And I think that I don't think the team was looking at Rask there. I don't think the team was saying, oh, you know, Rask is gone. It's, you know, we can't win, and so let's just bail. I think the give up may have happened when they looked at Halak and it started to go south for Halak, and they look at him and go, we can't win with this guy.
Yeah, I think it's situational. You know, like against Carolina, if it affected them, well, that series probably would have went longer, maybe 6-7 games, right? Like, and it didn't. You know, they took care of business after he was gone, and I was really impressed with that. With this series, well, you're playing a better opponent, and you get lit up. And Halak is what he is, so maybe that's starting to seep in a little bit. Like, I think it's fair to still be mad at him if they're... Look, I didn't think that they would probably end up winning the cup anyway because I don't trust him. I said after Game 7 last year, I've never fallen for the banana in the tailpipe with Tuukka Rask ever again. But if they go on to lose these games again, like they're getting blown out 6-7 goals, and Halak's a disaster and getting pulled for this, you know, big, tall klutz of Vladar... Well, then, even though I didn't trust Rask, I mean, I would be mad at Rask, too, because you would have had a better showing in this series rather than these sieves you have.
Right. No, but I agree. But just the general question of, is the goalie thing affecting the team? It's not Rask. It's Halak. It's Halak.
Yeah.
If anything, they're looking at Halak and saying, you know, this ain't going to happen. It's not going to – and so that sort of leads to a given factor. I mean, that's what I think was part of it the other night. You know, I think they played that as a scheduled loss the other night, which is just kind of crazy in the middle of a playoff series. But they definitely could be losing faith in their goaltending. I mean, that's possible. The way Halak has played the last couple of games, that's on the table. But, you know, again, and Murray's pointed this out too. Who do I blame for that? Not Halak. He is what he is. It's the number one Vezina finalist who went home, not Halak. We continue with your thoughts after Matt McCarthy's update here on Agenda Free Friday. Felger Maz with Big Jim Murray.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
It's not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The players, you know, thought long and hard about what they would lose by leaving the bubble. You know, start with the platform with the world watching the NBA playoffs and the movement to get... you know, to try to right, you know, so many of the social injustices in this country, losing that platform financially, what they would have lost in the short term, and then potentially the long term. The owners have the ability to terminate this collective bargaining agreement. The executive director of the Players Association, Michelle Roberts, laid that out again to the players in that meeting 2 nights ago. And then competitively, they've invested in these playoffs. We are headed into the second round of the playoffs with Toronto and Boston. And I think ultimately all of those factors played in to the players' decision to continue these playoffs.
All right, so that's Woj. The players are back. The playoffs will resume. We don't have the Celtics schedule yet, do we?
Not official, yet. No.
Well, what, do you have something unofficial?
Well, yeah, that the game one's supposed to be Sunday.
Okay. And that's just the scuttlebutt.
Yeah.
Okay. Bruins tomorrow at noon. So the Bruins schedule is out. Saturday, Monday for game 5, and then 6-7 if necessary, Wednesday, Thursday. So the 6-7 is still a back-to-back. But tomorrow at noon instead of tonight at 7. Why do I think that benefits the Bruins?
because of their age. I mean, that's the first thing that comes to mind for me. I mean, they just got their asses whooped. It felt like a capitulation. It clearly looks like Chara could use as much rest as possible. Krejci didn't really have a good game there. Those older guys that have been around a minute, I think they could use as much rest as possible.
Okay, so extra day. I also think, Murray, the noon start is a funky start time. You know, there's not many. You'll get the occasional, you know, regular season noon start, you know, NBC game.
Day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but it's really like you only play, you know, what,
two or three. Of those, yeah.
Yeah, like so it's really a off start time. You're not, and I think that can play to the Bruins' advantage. It can sort of level the playing field. Anything that sort of mucks up Tampa's momentum or what was going on, I think plays to your. It's not, I mean, I don't think it's going to be a deciding factor or anything. You can still, Tampa's still better. They still should win, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that might level the playing field just a little bit.
Yeah, whatever kind of theatricality and deception you can use to your advantage, you'll need it against this team.
Right. Like, you know, weird start time, bad ice, bad lights, yeah. You know, windstorm, whatever. Like, I think that all sort of levels the playing field. Whatever sort of wild card you can throw into a game levels a playing field between a better team and a worse. I don't know, or has the potential to, right? So, I don't know. I feel okay about that noon start for the Bruins. I really do. Okay, your thoughts on this and everything else. How about Scott in the car on the boycotts? Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, boys. How you doing today? Felgo, I usually agree with most of what you say, but you said something yesterday, and you were a complete fence sitter, where you were talking about the Jacob Blake situation and the cop, and which is obviously a horrific situation, but you made the statement of, well, maybe the cop was following correct procedures, except he shot him 7 times. That's like saying Tuca played really well, except they lost 14-1. You can't say that he was following the procedure and then shoot the guy 7 times.
I don't know. What does the manual say? What does this training say? Does it say to you know, stop the threat by whatever means necessary? Or does it say you can only shoot twice? I mean, what does his manual say?
The manual says you can only shoot twice. No, I do not know.
Yeah, and
I mean, no one knows, right? I mean, so who knows?
But would agree it's excessive, right? I mean, it's...
Oh, it feels it. It absolutely feels excessive.
Yeah,
but
and I will say, like, look, there's a lot we don't know in that case. I think that's okay to say that. But I don't know. I think, again, trying to apply common sense here, it's not used much anymore. But 7 shots, like, that's like emptying a clip into a guy. Like, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and it's easy for me. But also, it's easy for me to sit here and say, well, just shoot him in the thigh. Or it's easy to say, if he's only reaching for a knife, then just step back 10 feet and you're fine. You know, he's not going to do anything to you. But I don't know, in the heat of the moment and your life's on the line, you know, it's hard to pass judgment on
that's,
that one.
That's
and
fair.
Seven shots feel excessive. But what if it takes 7 shots to dispel the threat? You know, there's a threat to your life. And I'm not telling you that's exactly what happened in this situation. Maybe, you know, maybe the knife was the guy who shot the video said they heard the cop saying, drop the knife, drop the knife, drop the knife. But he wasn't holding the knife. The knife was in the floorboards of the car, or they didn't see the knife, right? The guy who was shooting the video didn't see the knife in his hands. He didn't think there was a knife in their hands, but the cop was shouting that. Is that something a cop shouts to protect himself? You know, say to sort of mitigate a unnecessary discharge of his weapon to, you know, make it sound like the other guy has a weapon. I don't know. There's like a million things.
Yeah.
And it could go either way. It could have been a bad shooting. It actually could have been a shooting that was, you know, in line with his training. All I'm saying is we don't know that one. I'm not as outraged by that yet. I mean, let's see how that all plays out. As I am the demonstrations and the riots 2 nights later, where the cops there just let those militia guys run around with the assault rifles and let that kid get away, and like that to me was more outrageous than the actual shooting. But that the actual shooting is to be determined. I mean, we can still get outraged on that. I just think we got to get the whole story on that one. We've got Ian in New Bedford on the Celtics and the Raptors. Their return. Go ahead, Ian.
What up, Felger? Happy Friday. I was just calling because, you know, both the Raptors series and the Celtics series, they both swept, and it just kind of felt like the Celtics had more momentum going into game one, especially with Kyle Lowry a little dinged up. I just wanted to see who you think benefits more from the extra couple days off.
Well, you mentioned the Lowry thing. That's got to help the Raptors. Because Lowry, if they had started when they were supposed to start, was he even going to play? Do we even know?
He was going to be a game-time decision at best going into that. And that was the first thing I thought of. I mean, I know that we weren't talking much about X's and O's and, you know, breakdowns of this series over the last couple of days, and understandably so. But when it got pushed, the first thing I thought of in terms of the actual on-the-floor stuff is like, oh, this helps the Raptors because Lowry's going to be okay.
I think it does. Now, does it slow anyone's momentum? I mean, I don't know. The Toronto swept as well, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
So, like, I don't know. I think that's a wash. But if it gets Lowry extra days to rest, I think that probably, helps the Raptors. We continue as I get the caca out of my mouth with your calls on Agenda Free Friday. Everything on the board. Don't go anywhere.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
Hey, when you call and say two things, three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger and Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
How important is it to get the result tomorrow, get the win, not fall down 3-1 in this series?
Yeah, I can't predict the future, Hags, on that part of it. It's 2-1. We need to be better in game four, take care of the puck, get breaking out of our end, control the neutral zone better. There's a lot of areas of our game. Typically, I like our special teams. We got beat on that the other night. So I think they'll bounce back. Day off away from the rink today would be good for everybody. Like I said, we're licking our wounds today, but we'll be better. We got a good group in there. Core group will be ready to go. They're going to have to pull that middle group along. Well, we challenged the middle group the other day, and hopefully they're able to respond too. You need 20 guys. This is too good a hockey club. No passengers, so that'll be the message, and our guys are pretty good at bouncing back. Like I said, I wasn't happy with our response in the second and third period last night, but game four will be a different animal. Like I said, get a little time away from the rink, get refreshed, and be ready to go.
I'd be stunned if the Bruins don't respond tomorrow. That doesn't mean they win, because Tampa's a little better, and so they can respond, and Tampa can play their game and still lose.
They're not going to get blown out like they did in this last game. I can't see that. There's too much pride there. There's too much experience. There's too much talent too. Now, there is the goalie situation shaky, of course. I didn't love that lineup. Hopefully, it'll be a better lineup than Cassidy put out there. But it's not going to be a blowout like it was in this last one.
They've just come too far. They've invested this far just to give up. So I don't think they will. And that's generally not their MO. They're choky. They'll get into a big spot You know, maybe care too much and lay an egg. But, you know, what we saw the other night was really not them. And I'd be stunned to think they'd come back with another one. So they're going to show up tomorrow, and they're going to show. The question is it good enough, and are we going to get a series? Greg and Lincoln, your thoughts on the Bruins here on Agenda Free Friday. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree, guys. I don't see the same thing happening again. And it's just
kind of shocking because they just got so outskilled, right? Like, the one skill play you saw was Pasta feeding it to Marchand. Like, that was a skill play. But the rest of the game, like, they couldn't even control the puck. It's kind of mind-boggling. Like, it felt like a JV team. Like, they truly couldn't get it out of their own end. I don't know. You got to at least see some of that.
Okay, so that's a one-off, though, Greg. I generally think they're not getting outskilled in this series. I think Tampa's bigger and faster. But I think, like, you know, skill-wise, I think it's pretty equal. I mean, I do. I think Pastrnak might be the most skilled among all the forward groups. I think, like, you know, Braden Point and Bergeron and Marchand kind of a wash. Kucherov, you know, I don't know. I think that sort of I think Tampa has an edge on D. I think Hedman has skill that you don't have. You know, their goalie's more skilled. But I don't feel like the Bruins are getting outskilled. I think Tampa's getting a little physical, which you can't match, and they're quicker. And the goaltending's better. And I think that's what's happening in the series.
Yeah, and there is some sort of psychological advantage. I'll keep going to this, that they have with Pat Maroon, too. Like, they don't have a guy like that that's getting under their skin. I mean, they should in Marchand, but given his size, he can only do so much. Like, Pat Maroon's been a problem for the Bruins in this series. He has.
We've got Joe in New York. Go ahead, Joe. What do you got?
Hey, guys. I'm just calling up because last segment you were wondering about what the standard is for how many shots a police can shoot in that kind of situation. Just I have some knowledge on the subject because I work in a law firm in Manhattan, and we have a police shooting case. And in the course of working on the case, I learned that here in New York, the standard is that every shot has to be a conscious decision with a reason behind it. I'm not sure what it is in Wisconsin, but just wanted to offer a little insight.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure there's a standard in that municipality, and whatever it is, he either exceeded it or was within the bounds of it. I just don't know. I mean, that's all I'm trying to tell you. I think there is a whole story to the Jacob Blake shooting. There's something that happened before. There is some background to it. There's things we don't know. There's things they haven't released. And let's just get that full picture, okay, until I form a full opinion on that. That's all I'm saying. I will reiterate what I saw the other night on Tuesday night with those, and we'll call them riots if you want. If it offends you to call the demonstration and you just go right to the riot thing, that's fine. During the riots, that to me was egregious. And Murray, I mentioned this in the email. You know, I read the story the other day, and I hadn't seen the clips that were online with this kid from Illinois who came into Kenosha. And I finally saw the clips last night. I was blown away. Especially the one where he's leaving the scene, okay?
The one at the gas station?
So where he's passing the gas station and he's walking down the street and he's got his hands up. Because when I read it, the way it was described was he had the rifle over his shoulder and his hands in the air, which I took as sort of like a celebration, like, yeah, got him or something. And what it really was surrender. It was what he was doing is he was walking away from the scene. There had been shots fired. People were down. The cops were now coming down the street, you know, in their armored cars and the cop cars. And he's walking the other way into these cop cars where there had just been a shooting behind him. And the cops knew it. They were coming in. And he's walking out with the assault rifle over his shoulder like this, pretty much giving himself up or pretty much, you know, don't shoot. But, you know, like sort of giving himself up to the police almost. And they let him go. They let him go. That is. And beyond letting him go, it's entirely possible they said, get out of here, because they had been working together all night, as we had known earlier from the previous videos. They were giving water to those militia kids. They were sort of like they were going easy on those militia kids. They were thanking them for being there. So they were kind of in cahoots. The local authorities there, the cops down there, were sort of allied, allied with the freaking nuts that came over from Illinois with the assault rifles and were sort of working with them. And so after the shots were fired and there were people down on the scene and the kids walking out, the cops, my guess is some of them probably recognized them. Yeah, that was a kid that was at the gas station with those other militia guys. We were working with those guys. They were all right. They were helping us. And they let the kid go. That, to me, like, There's no nuance to that. That is just freaking outrageous and wrong. Well, I mean,
no, really, for me, it comes down to the kid shouldn't be there in the first place. It's a kid from out of state that wanted to go there and play G.I. Joe. I still, it blows my mind in many ways, and it doesn't in others, unfortunately, that a 17-year-old kicking an AR-15. Like, he should have never been there in the first place. Like, dude, like, this doesn't.
But the cops don't stop him?
No.
There was just gunfire. Someone's down, and the guy's walking down the street with the assault rifle, and the cops say, get out of there, which is what my guess is, because he stopped and talked to one of the squad cars. He stopped and looked, and I thought talked into the window of one of the cop cars, and they just let him go. You're telling me an African American's walking down that street with a gun over his shoulder? They say, yeah, just get out of here. They're going to let him go?
After there's been a shooting.
Oh, my God. Like, that the response, the response after the initial shooting in Wisconsin is absolutely unforgivable and speaks to a major, major culture problem with the officials there at that, in Kenosha or whoever was there on site. That, to me, when you say police reform or look at what's going on there, I look at that. I look at it and say, you've got to be kidding me. They let the kid with the assault rifle waltz down the street and leave the scene with shootings and bodies down behind him. What? That's where I think the walkouts came from, and rightfully so. So anyway, I'm sorry to follow up on that, but I did see the videos, and that piece blew me away. Like, you've got to be kidding. There might be, as awful as it sounds, there might be an explanation for the Jacob Blake shooting, or there may have been. Again, that cop may have been following protocol, and he may not have. Again, we just don't know. But that other thing, holy crap,
and
that
even,
is.
Even in this kid's case, and look, I don't want anyone to take this as me justifying it, because I'm not. Like, you know, the kid was getting attacked, so, you know, and two people are now dead because of it. But for me, it comes back to the kid should have been there in the first place. Like, okay. Dude, what are you doing? Stay home.
So that's a different thing. Was the kid shooting justified? Which I think is absolutely not, okay? But that's just my opinion. My point is, when he's walking down the street and away from the scene, the cops don't know anything. All they know is that there's been shots fired, people have been shot, there's people down, okay?
Yeah, no, this is, hey, white kid machine gun, that's fine.
And they let him go! Yeah. They let him go! So, like, oh, who knows? I mean, the kid's going to plead self-defense. It's going to go to trial. Like, wait till that crap hits the fan. Like, the kid might even get off. So, like, but that's a whole, at the time, the cops don't know it. All they know is shots fired, someone shot, and here comes what could, like, I don't know, maybe be the shooter.
Right.
Since he's walking down the street with an assault rifle where there was just a shooting behind him, and they let him go. What does that say about the cops there on the scene? And if I'm an NBA player and I'm boycotting and you want some sort of immediate action, that's where I would start. I would say, can we gather up the cops who are on that street who let that kid go? Who was in the cop car who stopped and talked to that kid and let him keep walking? Well, how come we had to go chase him down in Illinois to arrest him and we just didn't grab him on the scene when he's walking down the street with the assault rifle and there's a shooting on the street behind him? I'd start with those cops. Okay, that would be my first course of action. Long commercial-free segment continues after Matt McCarthy's update. There's no commercials here.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
Hey, it's Felger here. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason heats up. It's super easy to get started with DraftKings if you're a first-timer. Try betting on something simple like your team to win. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple. And if you're new to DraftKings, just check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. Again, new customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours, and you must use code SPORTSHUB to get in on the action.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.